نصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, we have been discussing the purification of the heart. And we had discussed so far having good akhlaq, good character. Many ahadith of Rasulullah was explained. And then we moved on to hypocrisy, nifaq. And the reason why that was discussed was that Hazrat Maulana Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullahi Alayh had seen in his time that that was the sickness and the disease that had crept in society. And not only the normal, the layman, but even those who had knowledge of Quran and Hadith, the ulama also became victims of it. Allah Ta'ala protect all of us. We discuss the two types of nifaq, nifaq of i'tiqad and nifaq of amal, and we had discussed that last week. Today we move on to pride. And this also is another killer disease, as we say. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that person who has that amount of pride, which is equivalent to a mustard seed. Mustard seed is so small, so minute. Person has that amount of kibar. La yadkhul jannah, he won't enter Jannah. Of course, ulama then explain that because he has iman also, then ultimately after he is cleansed and purified in Jahannam, Allah Ta'ala save us, then he'll be removed and then put into Jannah. But who wants to go into Jahannam and go through all the torment and purification? We always make dua, Ya Allah, take us directly into Jannah without any hisab kitab. But pride is such a terrible disease that it stops a person from entering into Jannah in the initial moment, initial period. When everybody else will enter into Jannah, this person will be deprived. And if Allah does not forgive him, then he has to go into Jahannam first, get cleansed, and then Allah forgives him, and then he is taken out of Jahannam and then put into Jannah. So this is the meaning of the hadith, that that person who has that amount of pride, which is equivalent to a mustard seed, small little seed, that amount of pride, so minute, he shall not enter Jannah. And therefore you find in the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, and there's an incident of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, a great scholar, son of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He meets another great Sahabi, Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala. And the hadith explains the incident that they met on Marwa. فَتَحَدَّثَا, they spoke. ثُمَّ مَضَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ عَمْرٍ, then Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala proceeded. وَبَقِيَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنُ عَمْرٍ يَبْكِي, but Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala remained, and he remained sitting there crying. Somebody asked him, مَا يُبْكِيك يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ, what makes you cry? Why are you sitting and crying here? قَالَ, he said, هَذَا, this man, referring to Abdullah bin Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala, he says that this person has claimed that he has heard Rasulullah saying, مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِّنْ كِبْرٍ كَبَّهُ اللَّهُ لِوَجْهِهِ فِي النَّارِ, that person who has that amount of pride equivalent to a mustard seed, Allah will throw him headlong into Jahannam. So that made him cry. Yet we know Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, what a pure heart they had. But this was the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they had. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned once, Ala ukhbirukum bi ahli jannah, shouldn't I not inform you who are the people of Jannah? Which type of people will be there? Sahaba said, Bala, indeed, tell us. Rasulullah in this particular hadith he explains, Kullu da'ifin mutada'af, every weak person, downtrodden, simple, poor, who is deemed in society also as somebody who is insignificant. He's not a high profile person, not given a lot of prominence in society. He's weak, downtrodden. People don't even care and bother about him. But his status in the eyes of Allah is such, لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا بَرَّهُ, if that particular person has to take a qasam in the name of Allah regarding anything, then Allah will take it upon himself to fulfill this person's promise. Allah Ta'ala will make it possible for him to fulfill his promise. And then he said, should I not inform you, bi ahli nar, people, the inmates of Jahannam, which type of people? Qalu bala, sahaba said, yes. Qala kullu utullin, jawadin, mustakbirin. Every hard-hearted person, very harsh, very cruel. Jawad person is two meaning. One is, he's a miser. He hoards wealth. He does not help the poor. Or one who is very pompous in his manner of walk. He walks with pride. Mustakbir, person who is arrogant. So an arrogant person, a person who has got pride in his heart, he is regarded in this hadith as the inmates of Jahannam. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala was a very great sahabi. He was, before accepting Islam, known as the alim of the Yahud. He had knowledge of the Torah, very well versed, very learned. And then he embraced Islam. So he was going past the bazaar, the marketplace, وَعَلِهِ حُزْمَةٌ مِّنْ حَطَبٍ. He had a bundle of wood that he was carrying on his back. Imagine, a great person, regarded amongst all the people in Medina, somebody very, very high. Now he's carrying this bundle of wood all by himself, heavy load. فَقِيلْ لَهُ. It was said to him, مَا يَحْمِلُكَ عَلَى هَذَا. What? Why are you doing all this? وَقَدْ أَغْنَاكَ اللَّهُ مِنْ هَذَا. Allah has sufficed you from all this. You could get on a khadim to assist you. Why are you carrying this heavy load upon yourself? قَالَ أَرَدْتُ أَنْ أَدْفَعَ الْكِبْرِ. He says, I desire to remove from my heart the pride that I have got. This is the humility. Opposite of pride is tawadu, humility. In one hadith, Rasul says, Inna min ahabbikum ilayya. A person who is most beloved to me. Most beloved to me, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhrabikum minni majlisan. The person who is the most closest to me as far as the day of Qiyamah is concerned, as far as being close to me on the day of Qiyamah and most beloved to me, is who? The one who is best of you in akhlaq, in character. You've got the best character. And the most detested. وَإِنَّ أَبْغَضَكُمْ وَأَبْعَدَكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا. The one who became far away from me on the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah mentioned the types of people who are very boisterous in their speech. They speak deliberately with a twang, just to impress the people. It's not their natural manner of speaking. But they put up a performance. And they use very, very difficult words just to impress the crowds. In other words, they are filled with pride. What is the meaning of pride? In one hadith, Rasulullah said, Al-kibru batarul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. If you understand this, we understood pride. What is pride? Batarul haqq. To reject the truth. When some truth is given to you, it's black and white, everything is there, it's clear. You still reject it. You say, no, I'm not accepting it. Imagine, truth of Quran, hadith, sharia, deen. Ulama explained to you the masla. It's clear. You say, no, it doesn't make sense. I reject it. That is pride. وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ. You think low of people. And you think of yourself to be superior to others. Everybody else is inferior. You think very high of yourself. And you think of low of everybody else. So that is the meaning, the definition of pride. So one sahabi, when he heard this, his mind went to something that most of us, our mind will go towards. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, a person has got nice clothing. Thawbuhu hasan, wa na'luhu hasan. His shoes are very looking nice. He's neatly dressed. Will that tantamount to pride? Rasul said, no. In Allah jameerun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful. Allah loves a person to look nice, neat. Yes. Then Rasul explained to him what is pride. Al-kibru batarul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. So if you are dressed in that way and you think of yourself to be very high and mighty and everybody else is poor and low and inferior, yes, then that will be pride. But if you wore neat clothes, nice clothes, new clothes, like the day of Eid or Friday or whatever, or some occasion, and you had nice shoes, you combed your hair, there's nothing wrong in that. Allah Ta'ala likes us to be clean, neat and tidy. Allah Ta'ala doesn't expect us to become dirty. So even though a person is simple, but he's neatly attired, that's what Shariat wants from us. So that will not tantamount to pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ Allah says, and make dua to me, I will answer your dua. So Allah has instructed us to make dua, to supplicate to Him. Allah says, I will respond to you, I will answer your dua. And immediately after that, Allah says, remember we're talking about dua, supplication. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي Those people who show pride, arrogance, from my ibadat, which commentators say in this particular verse refers to dua. In other words, a person feels that he does not require to make dua. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي Those who turn away from making dua to me, who feel they don't need to make dua and supplicate to me, سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ They will enter Jahannam in a despicable, humiliated condition. Allah wants us to turn to Him. Allah wants us to show how low we are and how high and mighty and great He is. Therefore the verse I recited at the beginning, وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ All greatness, all loftiness only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it's the sky or the earth, there's no being superior than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth nor in the sky. Every single person is the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore to explain this pride and greatness and loftiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, or Rasulullah has given an example in the hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah ta'ala says, as though Allah has got two garments, but brothers and elders, please understand, this is just by way of example for us human beings who have got such little intelligence and knowledge and brains for us to understand. Otherwise, how are we going to understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how are we going to understand the concept of pride? So Allah has mentioned this example in the hadith al-Qudsi, as though Allah has got two garments, an upper garment, a lower garment. So Allah ta'ala has mentioned in the hadith that al-kibriya'u rida'i wal-azamatu izari. Loftiness is my upper garment, and azama, greatness is my lower garment. Whoever tries to, man naza'ani wahidan minhuma, whoever tries to fight and pull away one of those garments from me, whether it is loftiness, greatness or pride, Allah Ta'ala says, Al-qaituhu fi jahannam, I'll push him into jahannam. Pride only belongs to Allah. Only Allah can claim that loftiness, that greatness, that supremacy. It only belongs to Him, to nobody else. No person in the world can claim pride, greatness. On the day of Qiyamah, what Allah Ta'ala says? The verse in the Quran, وَمَا قَدْرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهُ وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The entire earth, the skies, everything will be in the qabza of Allah, in the hand of Allah, in the possession of Allah. Allah will wrap up the skies, earth, everything. He will address all the tyrants of the world, all the arrogant people of this world. Aynal mutakabbirun, aynal jabbarun. Where are those proud people? Where are those arrogant people? Where are all those despots, those kings, those rulers, who claim to be very high and noble and mighty and lofty? Where are you today? Allah will put forward a question. Limanil mulkul yawm. All this sovereignty belongs to who today? Which king of the world can claim anything on the day of Qiyamah? It only belongs to Lillahi al-Wahid al-Qahar, to one Allah who is most powerful. Therefore, Sharia tells us to have tawadu. The word tawadu derived from the word wada'a in Arabic, which means to place down. So even if a person has got a lot of knowledge, he's a great alim, ulama write, Mawlana Shah Wasiullah Rahman has explained, the more knowledge a person has, the more humility he should have. The more humility he should have. Example is, put a huge tree. There are two trees, and both have fruit. But the one tree is laden with abundant fruit. So much of fruit that we see the branches are bending and the tree also begins to bend. The other one has little fruit. but it is upright. Branches are not bent. Exact like that. The more knowledge an alim has, the more bent he should be, not physically, but the humility he should have. So the more knowledge a person has, the more tawazu he must have. And the hadith says, "Man tawadha lillah rafa'ahu Allah." That person who has humility, not for show, when somebody's coming and we go down like a big buzrug and show everybody how pious we are, that is not called tawazu. That's, in my terminology, Act 1, Scene 5. We just tasannu. Tasannu, that's just show. That's show. That's pretense. That's a facade we're putting up. We act like we're very humble. And we see also, nothing, he make dua, big gunnegar, nothing. We must be sincere, we must be genuine. So, man tawadha'a lillah, that whoever is, shows humility for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any ulterior motives, Allah ta'ala will elevate him. Brothers, can we understand? When Allah elevates a person, when Allah gives honor and izzah to a person, no matter who in the world, with all their might and power and strength and skill, tries to lower that person, they will fail. The contrary, وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ, whoever shows pride, arrogance, وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ, Allah will humiliate him. Allah will destroy him. Even in dunya also, there will be times when Allah Ta'ala will humiliate him. We have seen Qarun. Qarun, when he rejected Ibrahim alayhi salam da'wat, and he displayed that arrogance and pride, what happened to him? A lame mosquito, according to Mufassirin and Ulama, a lame mosquito goes into his nostril and gets stuck somewhere in his temple, in his head. He was sitting on a throne, but imagine all his men, to give him some type of relief of the pain, they would take their slippers and their shoes and begin to knock his head to give him some type of rahat. Is that not humiliation? Fir'aun, what happened? We will see Fir'aun. Verse upon verse upon verse. Ana rabbukum al-a'la. What did he say to Bani Israel? I am your mighty Lord. I am your high Lord. I am Allah. Ma alimtu lakum min ilahin ghayri. I don't know any other God besides me for you. Anybody who should be worshipped. You should worship me. But how did he drown? How did he meet his fate? He began to sink. He began to drown. Sorry, that was not Qarun. That was Namrud. Namrud who had the lame mosquito. Qarun himself, also so much of wealth, so much of treasures he had. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. It's a long story, but Allah Ta'ala sunk Qarun. Sunk him with his belongings, everything into the ground, into the earth. So Allah Ta'ala destroys such people. Therefore all the time, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise in the day of Qiyamah, what will be the condition of mutakabbirun? Mutakabbirun are those who had pride, arrogance in this dunya. يُحْشَرُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. They will be raised amthala dharri, like tiny little ants, fi suwari rijal, with the shapes and the bodies of human beings. They'll have a face, eyes, everything, legs, but so tiny, like ants. يَغْشَاهُمُ الظُّلُّ. Allah Ta'ala says that zillat, humiliation, disgrace will cover them. They'll be overwhelmed by zillat, disgrace on the day of Qiyamah. They'll be given no position, no status, no honor, no glory whatsoever. And they'll be dragged to a cell in Jahannam. And the name of that is called Bawlas, is the name of that cell. And where they will drink the pus and the blood of the inmates of Jahannam. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah Ta'ala save us. And therefore, Mawla Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi had mentioned that pride is the root of all evil. As the Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayhi has written a kitab, Ummul Amrad, the mother of all sicknesses. Awaz Arif Billah Zakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah had written a kitab on pride. And he said that more devastating than the nuqsan, the loss and ruins of the bombs of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, worse than that, worse than all that, is pride, how it destroys a person's iman, and how it destroys a person's amal. Therefore Allah Rabbul Izzat mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْتَكْبِرِينَ. Allah does not like those who are haughty. Pride is essentially the trait of shaitan and the unbeliever. Moreover, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had issued a very severe warning with regarding to its repugnance by saying that a proud person will not enter paradise. We discussed all these hadiths already. Qazi Sanaullah Panipati rahmatullahi alayhi, in Tafsir al-Madhari, he has mentioned, he says, the reason for comparing pride with iman, the person who has pride won't enter Jannat, or it affects his iman, does not have iman. The meaning, he said, is that a believer considers his very existence and all other capabilities and perfection that he has to be derived and obtained only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believes himself to be devoid of all perfection. And therefore, he does not show any pride. Because he knows everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, a disbeliever, he considers his existence and all other qualities to be his personal achievement. So he considers himself to be great. And he forgets the greatest and the most high, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بَطَرًا وَرِئَاءَ النَّاسِ. Do not be like those who went forth from their homes conceitedly and to be seen of people. Allah ta'ala says, do not be like those who went forth from their homes conceitedly and to be seen of people. In Ruhul Maani, it is mentioned, Allah ta'ala prohibits the believers from being like the disbelievers in their conceit, in their ostentation. Allah ta'ala orders them to be the people of piety and sincerity. Some ulama state that in this verse, Allah ta'ala warns his awliya from having any similarity with his enemies. So the above statements prove that evil characteristics such as pride, conceitedness, ostentation, these are all traits of the disbelievers. Quran talks about Fir'aun. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَىٰ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Fir'aun had exalted himself in the land, and he made his people into different groups. He had suppressed one group of them, that is the Bani Israel, slaughtering their sons, keeping their women alive. Surely he was of those who spread corruption. So Allah Ta'ala talks about Fir'aun and Haman. So in the explanation, as the Thani Rahmatullah has explained, he says, this shows that the disappearance of pride actually entails the removal of obstacles from the descent of Allah Ta'ala's grace. Listen very carefully. In other words, a person who's got pride, then this pride becomes an obstacle to gain Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy. This is what happened to Fir'aun. Fir'aun is deprived of Allah Ta'ala's mercy because of his pride. So as the Thani Rahmatullah says, this means then, if a person does not have pride, so pride is taken away. So now there's no obstacle from getting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who has humility, then he will gain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that this shows the disappearance of pride, no pride at all, actually entails the removal of all those obstacles from the descent of Allah Ta'ala's grace. And of the greatest forms of Allah Ta'ala's grace is leadership in deen. So if a person does not have pride, he will gain the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest of that grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Allah will give him leadership in deen. As stated by Allah Ta'ala himself, Allah Ta'ala says, وَنَجَعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً, and we will make them leaders. So what Mullah Thani Rahmatullah is saying is that when pride comes out of a person, the obstacle for receiving Allah Ta'ala's grace has been removed. So when a person has humility, we say opposite of pride, no pride, he's got humility, then inshallah he will gain from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will even make him a leader in the deen, in his deen. And he will lead others also towards the right path. May Allah Ta'ala make us from the good leaders, those who are clean of pride and all the malice and all the filth. Allah, give us the true quality of humility. In Ihya al-Ulum, these are all great kitabs. Imam Ghazali, Rahmatullah Alayhi, written a masterpiece. We just know the title, Ihya al-Ulum. But a lot of those parts are translated in English as well. Nonetheless, what does he say? He says you should know that pride is an internal trait, characteristic, that is connected to the heart. The traits and actions displayed by a proud person are results and fruits of those internal traits. It would be appropriate to refer to it as arrogance. So, pride is specifically set aside for that same internal characteristic whose essence is that a person considers himself to be great and his value to be more than that of others. The root of this internal characteristic is nothing but self-conceit and vanity, which develops within an arrogant person. When a person sets his gaze on his own perfection, his own knowledge, his own actions, or any of the other causes of self-conceit, he considers himself to be great and he displays arrogance to others. So the person looks at himself. This is called about self-conceit. Person is proud over himself. He looks, I'm so great, so much of knowledge I have. I've got so much of wealth, so much of money. Or he looks at some type of skill that he has, some type of quality that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon him that others don't have. So when he has all this, automatically his nafs begins to swell. And now he deems everybody else to be insignificant and lower than him, lower than him. So this pride is connected to the heart. Shaitan, what was it that led to his destruction? Aba wastakbara. He disobeyed. He refused. He refused what? To make sajda to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. It was Allah's command. Wastakbara. He displayed arrogance. What did he say? Ana khairun min. I am better than him. Khalaqtani min nar. Oh Allah, you created me from fire. Khalaqtahu min teen. You created Adam from dust, from sand. Is fire not greater than sand? So why should I then lower myself and bow down to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam? Remember, shaitan, before he became shaitan and mardood and marid and the cursed, and before he was expelled from Jahannam, he was a jinn, kana min al-jinn. But he had such a lofty position that he was actually the leader of the angels. And so much of ibadat he made of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was an alim also. He had knowledge. Allah blessed, gave him knowledge. He knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he knew that there'll be one person who'll be accursed according to ulama. But he never thought that will be him. He never thought that will be him. One simple instruction from Allah, who he recognized, who he knew. And therefore ulama say that shaitan was alim, he was arif, but he was not ashiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had he been an ashiq of Allah, one who is mad in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever the command would have been, immediately he would have carried it out. Now he started basing his reasoning on his logic. And this is also a common disease today. People will have big degrees, professors. But because they don't understand Shariat in its pristine purity, they will reject the ahadith of Rasulullah SAW. Openly they will reject the ahadith. You ask them how to make salat? Quran says aqimus salat, isn't it? Yes. So how should you perform salat? So how is it to show you? If you tell you must stand up and go in ruku and sajda and the manner in which you perform, where did you get it from? Quran is silent about the actual procedure of salat. There's no verse in the Quran in Majid that will show you the exact procedure from beginning to end. Where do we get it from? From the sunnah, from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like there's so many examples we can give. It's only nafs. Allah protect us from becoming gumrah, astray. And Allah protect us from leading others astray. All this boils down to pride, arrogance. That everybody else is a fool. Mawlana Wasilullah Rahmatullah should address the ulama and say that those ulama and those people who think that he's addressing donkeys, then he's a man full of pride. Therefore, many ulama, when they address the people, you see, you put me on a chair and everybody is down. It's like a seesaw or a scale. The heavier side is the one which is down. So actually, all the heavyweights are there, not the one who's sitting on the chair. This is how they show the humility. But even for ulama, great caution and pride. One small slip, look at shaitan, what happened to him? Mardood eternally. Eternally. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. So what was it? Aba wa stakbara wa kana min al kafirin. And what did Fir'aun say? Am ana khairun min hadha alladhi huwa maheen wa la yakadu yubin. Am I greater or this guy, referring to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who could not speak very well. He had a stammer. He used to stutter and speak. La yakadu yubin. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he could not speak very eloquently. He had a stammer on his speech. And therefore he asked Allah Ta'ala, make Harun, my brother, also a Nabi, so we can go together and speak to, and give the da'wah to Fir'aun. So Fir'aun, we said, am I not better, or this Musa is better? Again, pride. So all these things, Quran mentions, verse upon verse, for us to reflect upon. Perhaps we're not like in the position of how Fir'aun was, but in our businesses, we have workers. And if we adopt the same policy and attitude how Fir'aun had, and how Shaitan had, then what will be our result? Allah protect us. So the punishment of pride, we had mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala will throw that person headlong into Jahannam. What is the ilaj? What is the remedy? What is the treatment for pride? Some ulama have said that ponder over the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ponder over the greatness of Allah. Just sit for a few minutes and think. Look at the sea, the ocean. Look at the rising of the sun. And the setting of the sun, and the appearance of the moon, and the stars, and the huge mountains. All these things will make you realize that there is one being who is most mighty, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are absolutely useless, insignificant, we are slaves, and Allah is most powerful. And therefore, all greatness and loftiness belongs to Him, so that is one ilaj. And the other one is dhikrullah. Where there is darkness, we ought to replace it with light. Only then will there be any benefit. This light will reach through abundant dhikr. Strict purity and following the sunnah. So we have to make a lot of dhikr. This heart has to be pure and follow the sunnah. This can be achieved by the salik striving on his own, or of course better with the Shaykh Kamil directing his attention to on him and removing him from that pit through his affection. This method of treatment is not restricted to any particular ailment, not only particular pride, all ailments of the heart. Rather, it is applicable to any evil trait which is old, which has firmly embedded itself in the heart, and its enjoyment has settled in the depths of the heart. Heedlessness is the biggest ailment to develop in a man's heart, and shaitan implants it even further. Other ailments can be put to an end through dhikr. Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah mentions, he says, the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is pure, and by nature purity removes filth wherever it reaches. When Allah's pure name enters the mouth, neither does any filth remain, nor does the mouth remain as it had been previously. This morning we were discussing with some of our friends about La ilaha illallah. Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah explains the kalima tayyiba. That means we're going to make that La, and you take out from your heart all the evil filth that we have, and you fill our hearts with illallah. So in reality what we are doing, we are taking out the creation from our heart, and we're filling the heart with the Creator. So the heart becomes tahir and tayyib. It becomes pure, becomes tayyib, enjoyable. You begin to enjoy the name of Allah Ta'ala. You begin to enjoy this khaliq of yours in your heart. Without the dhikrullah, then a person does not get that type of enjoyment in his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, mashayikh would, of course, abstaining from sins, and they encourage a lot of dhikrullah. So when a person is making an effort now to remove that filth, and you've got that grime in your heart, the dhikr of Allah is like flood water coming and washing away all that dirt that was remaining. May Allah Ta'ala give us true humility. This subject is such a long subject, but we will terminate. We had mentioned this previously in different majalis about pride. and about tawadu. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawadu, humility. Think of ourselves, not only think, believe of ourselves to be the lowest of every makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the disbeliever is concerned, then regarding the future, we still regard ourselves to be insignificant and lower and inferior to a disbeliever even. Yes, presently, but you can't compare kufr with iman. So definitely a believer is greater than a disbeliever. But we do not know what will be the end result of the disbeliever. Tomorrow he brings iman, then he's greater than us. Allah protect us. We don't know what will our outcome be. So as far as Hazrat Thani Rahman says, fil hal and fil ma'al. So fil ma'al, with regard to the future, you regard yourself to be inferior to the disbeliever also. And you regard yourself to be lower than all the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you want to get angry because of some person has done something wrong, who is under you, he's your subordinate, he's working for you, then you think, no. Then I'm lower than him. Or the moment that some pride comes because of some skill of yours, some achievement, then immediately think that this is given to me by Allah Ta'ala. If Allah wishes, he can snatch away this ni'mat a split second. May Allah make our hifazat, may Allah protect us, Allah give us a clean, pure heart. These are all the prelude of Ramadan, inshallah. So Ramadan comes, we enjoy the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We already started working on our hearts, the purification of our hearts. Remove that hypocrisy, remove that pride and jealousy and anger and all that, inshallah. We will hear even in the month of Ramadan. Then we can achieve the real fruit of taqwa. Otherwise, Ramadan will come, we'll be fasting, becoming angry and show pride and jealousy and malice and be thinking we are doing very great ibadat, tahajjud and taraweeh and iftar and all, but we won't achieve the real maqsad of Ramadan and fasting and the real barakat we will be deprived of. So already make up our minds, inshallah. Laylatul Barat is coming Friday night, inshallah. There is no doubt all the mufassireen, muhaddiseen, ulama, fuqaha have stated how great that Laylatul Barat night is. It should be kept. Ihya, ihya means to keep it alive. In other words, you should try and make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. So from now, we must condition ourselves that Friday evening, come what may, this Friday evening, no one will play ball. There's no soccer or anything. We are going to now sit and make the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. Yes, there'll be some program here. And at home also, with the family or whatever, alone. It's the time to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the time to beg from Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala forgives people. Allah forgives us. We are sinners. We need Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And then immediately, the moment you see 15th of Shaban coming, already you can already feel Ramadan is right here. But the moment 15th Shaban comes, then you automatically feel as though Ramadan has entered already. So before Ramadan enters, we must be ready to accept it and ready to enjoy that Ramadan. Ready to enjoy it spiritually. That savories and samosa, bhajja, Allah Ta'ala gives you, that is bonus. But spiritually, you must be ready to enjoy every second of Ramadan. 1 second mustn't go wasted. 1 second mustn't go wasted. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, hidayat, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.